I like action movies. Anybody here like action movies? Just so-so? Really? I like movies that have a quick-moving story, believable characters, seamless acting, and great special effects. The kind that either don't look like special effects or they are so cool that, you know, they have to be special effects. And some of my recent favorites, like, I really like Sherlock Holmes. Believe it or not, the new one, very special effects movie. Loved Star Trek, all of them, but especially the most recent movie, which, you know, the more recent stuff is filled with special effects. Quantum of Solace, James Bond movie from a couple years ago. The Dark Knight, number two box office movie of all time. Any of the Harry Potter films. Iron Man, soon to be followed by Iron Man 2 this July. The Incredible Hulk, not the Hulk that was out a few years before, but The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton, that one that was out last year. Hancock, remember that one? With Will Smith? Yeah. Any of the Jason Bourne trilogy movies with Matt Damon. And The Matrix, kind of, it isn't the granddaddy of all the special effects movie, but it took special effects in movies to a new level and thought process in The Matrix to new levels. And then after trying to go to an early show yesterday afternoon, finding the theater filled except for the seats in front, and then coming back for the 7:25 show and having seats, new one on my list is Avatar. Anyone see Avatar? Just me? No one else has seen it? You've seen previews. Well worth seeing. Soon to be the number two box office movie of all time or something like that. I like the excitement. I like the tension, the anticipation, that's not even a word. The anticipation of what comes next and the spectacle that's present in these special effects films that are more than just special effects films. I mean, you can make a film with special effects that's awful. I remember back in that's probably the 80s, a movie called Coming At Ya, which was a 3D movie that was like made to be a new 3D movie after all these, you know, 3D had gone. And it was just an awful movie, but it had really kind of cool special effects. Not a good movie, though. But I like these movies here because they make me think. Each one has something that makes you think, and they stay with you for a long time afterwards. And this week's Bible reading is something that has stay-with-you kind of power. It recounts an event in Jesus' life that has all the makings of a great action movie scene, Jesus' baptism. It was an event. It was the event that inaugurated Jesus' earthly ministry. It's like he was a kid and everything, and there's the whole water into wine thing, but at his baptism, that's sort of like when the mantle is passed from John the Baptist, who was doing a whole bunch of stuff and said, no, there's one coming greater than I am, to Jesus. And Jesus' earthly ministry starts then. It's recorded in all four Gospels. And there aren't a lot of events that are recorded in all four Gospels. You've got the death and the resurrection. You've even got different versions of the Last Supper. But the baptism is in all four Gospels. But I have to say that the description in Luke, it's a little boring. Now you're going to say, no, it's not. We listened to it, and it was really kind of cool. But listen to, all right, here's from Luke. The heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And it's romantic. You know, it's kind of poetic. It flows. But it's not that way in all of the Gospels. In Matthew, here's how it's described. Suddenly, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. That one's a little less airy, maybe a little less poetic. There's the suddenly. It happened suddenly. And I know I'm adding emphasis as I read it, but the word suddenly is in there. But then when the dove is alighting on him, then it goes back into the romantic and airy kind of a stuff. It's a bit more action-packed, but not quite there, not quite an action movie. Then there's the Gospel of John. It's really short in the Gospel of John, and it says, and John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. Which is kind of poetic, a little description, but it's also flashback, because John's going, you know, I remember. when this happened. And so there's a special effects thing in a movie, like it turns black and white or something. So it's we're getting there. We're building something. And then Mark, we're not reading Mark today, but listen to Mark. This is great. He saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now there's the heavens being torn apart. It's not like there were clouds and then they just sort of went, la. Or that, you know, it happened, la, you know, really quickly. It was like, the heavens were torn apart and then God spoke. It was this dramatic event. Powerful description. And I'm biased. You know, I've got obviously favorite versions of the way that the story is told. I like the earthy description of Jesus' baptism in Mark better than any other. But I also recognize that the other descriptions from the other Gospels, they bring the scene to life for other readers. So what I find moving and dramatic, others are like, yeah, I don't like that. That's too, it's too harsh. I like the, oh, you know, the heavens were opened, or, you know, there's a light, or it's like the Blues Brothers movie where, you know, I saw the light and it's on you, or something like that. So each one is told, telling the same event, but in a little different way, so that each of us can understand it, can feel some impact from this story. But I wonder, what is the spectacle? Because it is a spectacle no matter which gospel you read. What is it all about? Because I know Jesus' baptism was an event. It was significant enough that all four of the gospels made mention of it. In some ways, they described it in really cool ways that would make a good special effects movie. So it's significant. So now we got to explore, why is it significant? Heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. And a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those are the events that happen at Jesus' baptism. So heaven was opened. Why is that significant? Well, it's significant for the time, the people who are reading it, or the people who experienced it, because it meant that a divine word from God was coming. And not just because they're like, ooh, this is probably pretty significant because it looked significant, but because the people would have known that. Because it's written about in other parts of the Bible. Not the Jesus event, but in Ezekiel 1:1, it says, "In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, I was among the exiles by the river Shebar, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions from God." Ezekiel is part of the scriptures that the people of the New Testament would know, and they would remember that. The heavens were open. That means something is coming from God. Or Isaiah 64, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." The heavens being torn open or opened up. Something big is about to happen from God. So this description, or the people seeing it, it's significant because, oh, something's going to happen from God. The heavens don't just do that normally. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. See, the Spirit upon someone, it always meant something extraordinarily important or world-altering. In Genesis, it's the beginning of everything. In Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and a darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." And that word for wind, ruah, is spirit. So it's significant. Anytime the Spirit moves, it's significant. Something is going to change in the world. Something is going to change in people's lives. In Isaiah 11, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him." It's like a dove alighting on him. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The people knew this. They knew about the Spirit. They knew about creation. They got that it was significant that this dove would come down, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. after Jesus' time on earth, there's another event that some of the readers of this early on and then even now would get because the Spirit rushed in at Pentecost. Remember that? Acts 2, 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Big things happening when the Spirit moves. And then the way that the Spirit moves when it descends onto Jesus in this one, in the form of a dove, it's as if this event, we can see it from, you know, from now. And maybe they didn't see it so much then, but in the form of a dove is this peaceful symbol. Instead of, you know, the Spirit arriving like a freight train or the Spirit arriving like this rushing wind or anything, the bodily form of a dove. It seems to show that this world-altering episode isn't about domination and war, which the people were waiting for. They were waiting for a Messiah to come and dominate and be a war hero, but Jesus was coming about peace. And it's hard to see that looking forward, but it's easy to see that looking backwards. And then a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my son. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And this is significant for similar reasons as the Spirit one, and a little bit more. See, a voice from heaven means the voice of God. You didn't even have to know much about the Scriptures for that. A voice comes from heaven, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of the one who created everything. And God saying that Jesus is the chosen one, when he says beloved, it carries with it both a sense of being chosen and also being most dear. So Jesus is the chosen one, the most dear one, the beloved. It means that Jesus is the one. This is it. This is the one. He's the one who's going to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to give sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. Jesus talked about that a little bit later, but it was foretold, or it was foreshadowed at least in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Jesus said, "This has come true today." He didn't do it at his baptism, but that's what Jesus was meant for. Good news to the poor. Release the captives, give sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. So that's what it meant to the writers. That's what it meant to the first seers of this event. That's what it meant to the first readers of the event. And it's what it can mean to us. But you know what? Jesus' baptism, in some ways, you're like, well, it's not really that significant. Okay, there was some water and the heavens opened up, but it really doesn't, you know, it doesn't teach us a whole lot. Okay, so God said Jesus is the one. We already knew that. We didn't need the baptism scene to see that. There's lots of other evidence in the Bible that happened. So we got to find out, what is it that's significant about Jesus' baptism that means something significant to us now? So let me start with a description of Jesus' baptism just one more time. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened." That's how the event starts. There's some more scripture in there about the wheat and the chaff and stuff, and you notice I'm not going there today because there's so many different subjects in here. I'm just going with this part there. "All the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened." And it's that short phrase at the beginning. I love phrases like this, "all the people." This was not an exclusive gathering of people where only a few could come in and get baptized. John had opened up the waters to all the people, anyone who was there. So when all the people had been baptized and Jesus was baptized, that's when the heavens opened up. Jesus waited his turn. Jesus was there in solidarity with everyone else. See, traditionally and even today, we think of baptism for many, baptism is this way of washing away sin. Now, I understand baptism a little bit differently than that, in that God is the one who forgives sin, and baptism is this, it's a sign. For an adult, it's an outward sign of this inner change that God has already forgiven me. And for a child, it's the welcoming into the community. Back then, though, John said, "Repent and be baptized." So the baptism act, in and of itself, was something that people did and from it they said, I receive forgiveness. Well, Jesus, our theology tells us Jesus didn't do any wrong, so Jesus didn't need to be baptized. And people have issue with that, and they say, well, of course, he was a kid, he probably did some stuff and everything. But just by the biblical record, Jesus didn't need to be baptized for that reason. But he was for, in support of, in solidarity with all of the people there and all of the people that would ever be baptized. The Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, something I said that indicated peace. And it's also a reminder from the dove in the story of Noah. Remember that Noah sends out a raven, but he sends out a dove, and the dove comes back with an olive branch. It's more than just peace for that. It's as if the dove reminds us that God said, okay, everything's all right, and I am going to take care of you, and everyone is going to be included in this. It's the dove, the olive branch of peace, the olive branch of saying, things are back to normal. Things are going to be okay. Everyone is going to be okay. And then the dove book. Did you know there's a dove book in the Bible? Jonah is a word that means dove. So Jonah's name means dove. And even though Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and then he finally did go to Nineveh after he had been burped up by the big fish, but then when the people repented, he was angry and the tree grew over his head, and the book ends with him angry that God didn't destroy everything. But God has the last word in that. He says, Jonah, I wanted all these people to repent. I wanted you to go there, but I wanted them to change their ways. I wanted to save them. So God gets what God wants done, and God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be included. So the dove book is about everybody being included in God's love and in God's salvation. So the dove, it's a symbol that is a reminder of God's unconditional love, even when we mess up and mess up and mess up. Remember our job, right? God's job is to love, to redeem, to restore, and our job is to mess up. So Jesus, the one who didn't need to turn away from sin and be baptized, was baptized in solidarity with all the people. Jesus is the friend to the ones who keep messing up. Jesus is the one who brings hope and forgiveness and restoration and healing and life and love to the ones who have been forgotten, marginalized, exploited, rejected, and hated. What does Jesus' baptism mean for us today? It's a reminder. Jesus was in solidarity with all the people there, and Jesus is in solidarity and with and for everyone who is here. I know that Jesus is on the side of the poor and the marginalized and the exploited and the hated, but Jesus loves everyone, every single person. So this event, Jesus' baptism, reminds us that God's promise of love isn't just for those who have a special key or some secret knowledge or have joined some club somewhere and know what they're supposed to say and do, or people who have done it right all their lives. Jesus' baptism reminds us that God's promise of love isn't just for the ones who know, isn't just for the ones who do it right. In Jesus, for all the people, the heavens are opened. They were opened at baptism, but it's a reminder that the heavens are opened because God's salvation has come for all the people. Be of good cheer because the heavens are opened. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for events. Thank you for times that we can remember, life-altering times. Help us to remember Jesus' baptism. Help us to remember the love that you share with us, the love that you call us to give back to you and to give to everyone else. Help us to celebrate with one another and with all we meet that your unconditional love
never leaves, and that the heavens are opened. In Jesus' name, amen.